God's word for today is John chapter 19, verse 30. This is the reading of God's word. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time. We are gathered here to hear your word. Grant us an ear to hear your loving voice through your word, telling us the stories, wonderful stories of Jesus Christ, what he has done and what he has accomplished for us. And through your word, let us see the heavenly realities that your Son has accomplished for us, so that we may rejoice, be very happy, for our salvation is completely accomplished in Jesus Christ. Let us grow in faith. Let us grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we may live our lives glorifying you, giving you all the honor and glory. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Every Lord's Supper Sundays, Lord's Days, we have been looking at the seven sayings of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Today, we are going to look at the sixth saying, which comes out in verse 30 of John 19. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It is finished. Our Lord Jesus Christ bore our sins, yours and mine, and died on the cross for us. He died in our places. The wage of sin is death. And as you know, death is not only the physical death, but complete and eternal separation from God, forever torment and eternal punishment of God, God abandoning sinners completely and eternally. And yes, our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross tasted that death, the eternal death, for you and for me. Isaiah 53 verse 5 says, "But he," Jesus, "was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed." And it continues on verse 6 of Isaiah 53, "All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him." He is dying for our sins. He is dying because of our sins. He is dying in our place. Jesus is dying because we are sinners, and all sinners must die. He is dying to save us, and he is paying the penalty for our sins. John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. For you and for me, he willingly died on the cross to receive the eternal punishment of hell for his people. His love for you compelled him to do this for you. John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18a, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative." He voluntarily, willingly died for you. His love for you made him do this. So when you see some of these movies that portray the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, how Jesus looked so helpless, you know, so weak, and it is those soldiers who are in control. That is not how Bible teaches us. No one can take his life away. No one is able to capture him unless he lets it. You know, in John chapter 19, oh, is it chapter 18? When these soldiers came to arrest Jesus, what do we see there? They come to Jesus and say, "Are you, you know, Jesus?" And he says, "It is I." And what happens? Everybody falls down. You never see that in the movies. But I saw a lot of those movies, but I never saw that. He just says, "I am he," and just everybody falls down in the Bible. He lets them capture him. He's willingly died for your sins and mine. When we see the cross of our Lord, we see the seriousness of our sins. I mean, just how serious our sins are. The only way for our sins to be cleansed is that God Himself has to die. You know, God created the whole universe with His Word. He just says, "Let there be." And the whole universe was there. Do you understand the power of His Word? How powerful it is. And yet, when it comes to sin, He could not just say, "Let sin be gone." He couldn't do that. You have to understand the seriousness of our sins. It is God could only cleanse us of our sins is that He Himself died. And we see that our Lord Jesus Christ is going through unspeakable sufferings. But today, we see something different on the cross. You know, when we look at the cross, when we think about the cross, there Jesus suffering in agony. But today, we see a completely different picture. What we hear from our Lord's lips is not a cry of defeat or cry of agony, but a cry of victory. A triumphant statement of victory and accomplishment. He says, "It is finished." Yes, our Lord has accomplished perfectly all that the Father has given him to do. John chapter 17 verse 4, Jesus says, I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. And on the cross, he says, it is finished. The statement of victory that the world will never understand. Here in these words, it is finished. Even though in Greek it is just one word, in these words, it is finished, lie all our joy and all our assurance and certainty. No assurance, no certainty of our salvation apart from these words from our Lord Jesus Christ. It is finished. What does it mean literally? In Matthew chapter 17 verse 24, the same word is translated as pay. You know, you pay to buy something. Or in that context, it was paying the tax to the government. That same word, that word has the same root as our word. And also in Matthew 11, 1, it is translated as finished. Also that word has the same root as our word. In Luke chapter 2 verse 39, the same word is translated as performed. In Luke chapter 18 verse 31, translated as accomplished or fulfilled. Depends on which translation you have. So you put all this thing together. The word, it is finished, the Greek word, means it is paid in full. It is finished. All is performed. It is accomplished or it is fulfilled. The word means all of these things. Yes, all the penalty of all our sins have been paid in full. All the requirements of the law, all the demands of God's justice are performed and satisfied. All that the Father has given him has been performed, and the redemption of his people is perfectly accomplished and fulfilled. Jesus cries out on the cross, it is finished, it is paid, it is performed. It is accomplished. It is finished. It is fulfilled. Yes, all the promises of God in the Old Testament has been fulfilled. The salvation of His people is completely and perfectly accomplished. The heaven is accomplished. Our eternal heavenly reality is accomplished. He came to save His people, and all of His tasks to do so is completed, performed, accomplished. It is finished. Jesus came to die for our sins. He came to save us from sin. Luke chapter 19 verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. 1 John chapter 3 verse 5, you know that He appeared in order to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. So many people in this world, even when they call themselves Christian, misunderstand. They do not understand Jesus' death on the cross, what that actually means. Go to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. So Christ also having been offered once to bear the sins of many will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly wait him. Go to chapter 10, verse 10. By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Verse 14, for by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. Verse 17, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now there, where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. It is finished. The perfect once and for all sacrifice. And through that one sacrifice, all of God's people's sin is paid for. Thus, our sins are forgiven. And when that happened, there is no more need of any more sacrifices. It is finished. Meaning there is no more need of other sacrifices. The animal sacrifices of the Old Testament, you see these people laying their hands on their animal's head, symbolizing the transfer of sin. The sinner then is not killed, but the animal dies in his place. The blood of the animal is sprinkled. And all this points to Jesus Christ and what he does on the cross. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. All of your sins and mine are transferred to him. The Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. The wages of all our sins now has been paid in full. God no longer asks us for that wage, for it is already paid in full in Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ. Romans 8:1, therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. John chapter 5 verse 24, truly, truly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death to life. The power of sin and the power of Satan do not control you any longer. Yes, you may feel like it is still controlling you because you sin. But you have to believe what has happened already. You have been saved out of sin. That's why it takes faith. Because it's not something you are able to see. Because when you depend on sight, it actually says to you the opposite thing. But it's about faith. You believe what God says to you. No matter what your eyes tell you. Because we do not walk by sight. We walk by faith. And God has told us that we are no longer slaves to sin. You must believe this. It's by faith. Yeah, the world will say, see how this pastor is brainwashing these young kids here, you know. Well, some of you are not so young, but brainwashing. Eh? Let me tell you. Whenever somebody says to you, you grew up in a Christian family, you're brainwashed to believe Jesus, you tell them, you grew up in an environment that brainwashed you to not believe Jesus. They're the one who is brainwashed. Don't be embarrassed about what you believe. You believe the truth. If there's any brainwashing going on, it is in non-Christians' life. You are no longer slave to Satan. You are no longer slave to sin. Romans 6, verse 11, even so, consider yourself to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. Consider yourself to be dead to sin because you are dead to sin in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 18, and having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. You are freed from sin. You have to believe this. And by faith, and only by faith, you will be able to triumph over sin. It's not by your effort. It's not by anything else. By faith, you will be able. Yes, we still sin. But even so, we are no longer a slave to it. Ultimately, it has lost its power over us. It cannot. That sin cannot, no longer able to send us to hell anymore. It lost its sting. As far as we're concerned, sin has no more power over us to send us to hell. We are no longer slave to sin. Even as you sin, and as you repent, you remind yourself of what God is saying to you. Yeah, but we tend to hear Satan's voice more than God's voice. Satan will always come to you, look at you. Look at how you live your life. Look at you. Look at how much you sin. What are you talking about? You're not saved. Look, just look at how you are. I mean, come on, be honest. Don't listen to that garbage. You say to that Satan's voice, yeah, you're right. I am sinful. Yes, I sin. But Jesus died for my sins. And He gave His righteousness. I stand before God as a righteous person, not because I'm truly righteous, I live sinless life. No, because of Christ. So get behind me, Satan. Listen to God's voice. Because Satan will always tempt you. Always discourage you. Can you picture the Holy Spirit in us discouraging us? Does He ever do that? How can God discourage us? Yes, He convicts us of our sin so that we may repent of it, but that's not discouraging us. And whenever you hear some discouraging message, don't hear it. You know you have power to refuse to hear it. Listen to God. Colossians 1 verse 13 and 14, for He rescued us from the domain of darkness. It already happened. And transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Brothers and sisters, this is good news. Oh, how sweet it sounds when you hear our Lord say, "It is finished." Jesus Christ has accomplished our salvation completely and perfectly. It is finished, meaning nothing more to be added. Nothing more for us to do. Because it is finished. All that who say they must do something to be saved, all that teach that our salvation is by works, they do not believe what our Lord Jesus cries out on the cross. They don't believe the word of God. It is finished, he says. Nothing more we have to do to be saved. They do not trust what Jesus says. It is finished. All is finished, period. Whatever we need for our salvation, whatever we need for eternal life, whatever we need to be with God forever, we find all of them in Jesus Christ. And what he has done, what he has accomplished. Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves." That not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace." Titus chapter 2 verse 14, "Who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds." According to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, "We now belong to God. We have been bought with a price." Jesus Christ has accomplished our salvation completely and perfectly. All our sins have been cleansed with his blood. All our sins have been forgiven in Jesus. And in him, we do have the perfect righteousness, because the righteousness that we have is his righteousness. See what Christ has accomplished for you and for me. Psalm 103 verse 12, "As far as the east is from the west." As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Worldly speaking, there is no further apart, east from the west. That's how far your sins have been removed from you in Jesus Christ. God even says, "I will remember your sins no more." Do you think that when we get to heaven, we'll remember our sins? There's no repentance going on in heaven. God does not remember our sins anymore. We are freed from this guilt of sin. The guilt that taunts us, that kills us. You're free. God does not condemn you anymore. You have peace with God in Jesus Christ. And I don't care. You know, some of you might say, but you don't know what I have committed. You don't know how, you know, serious sin. You know, maybe these people, you know, they're pretty good. But me, I'm so bad. Arrogance. There's no sin that His blood cannot handle. And you think if your sin is so great that even His blood cannot handle, then you are arrogant. Our problem of our sins have been completely and perfectly taken care of. And Jesus alone has accomplished it. Do you still doubt about your salvation, brothers and sisters in Christ? If you do, come to the cross of our Lord Jesus and hear what Jesus says to you. Hear Him. He says, "It is finished." Hear what He says and doubt no more. Your salvation is perfectly accomplished by Him. Trust Him when He says it is finished. As you come to His table today, remember what He says to His disciples. He says that same thing to you. Matthew 28 verse 28. As He gave the cup to His disciples. "For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." As you come to table, realize what has happened to you. Jesus Christ bore your sin and died on the cross for you and shed His precious blood for you. He also lived that perfect righteous life for you so that you may be called righteous in the sight of God. Come, people of God, whose sins have been forgiven. Come and feed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, your spiritual nourishment. Come and love Him, brothers and sisters. Come and worship Him. It is finished. The eternal fellowship with God is accomplished. Look at what is happening. You are coming and sitting with Him at the table and eating and drinking with God. That is the picture of fellowshipping. Yeah. That's why when you take your girlfriends out or your wife out on a date, please eat dinner. It makes more sense. We're sitting with God on His table and eating and drinking with Him. We're having a marvelous time. We're having fun. Because Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." Come and see through your faith, through the Word of God, the reality of "it is finished." Do you understand what that phrase, "it is finished," teaches us? It freed us from sin in this world. And when you hear this, God's people say, "Amen." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for making us heavenly people. We are gathered unto you as your sons in the true Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we thank you that you are inviting us to your table even now, so that we may eat and drink with you, to have that sweet fellowship of heaven with you. Oh Father, let us enjoy you and your presence with us. Let us enjoy the eternal rest that has been already accomplished for us to enjoy. Oh, let us enjoy you on this glorious day. And let us be glad, very glad. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.